Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Tonight, we've got a great show, ADHD, the research on procrastination. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Kim Kensington. We're going to get into the meat of the show real quickly, but before that, tonight is December the 13th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our show tonight is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, better known as CHAD. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We're very grateful for our relationship with them and for them sponsoring the show. So we're going to run their tip and we'll get right into the meat of it. Here we go.
Children with ADHD can be prone to overstimulation. The holidays can be especially stressful. Know your child's limits and select holiday activities wisely. Make sure there is a quiet space where your child can go and regroup. Choose calmness over chaos. For more tips on making the holidays work for you, visit the CHAD website at www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Again, CHAD, thank you for that tip. If you're not a CHAD member, we encourage you to go out and learn about CHAD and actually become a member. They've got a lot of great information, a lot of great member benefits. It's definitely worth the price of admission, but more importantly, you should be a member because they actually advocate on behalf of those with ADHD. They represent us on Capitol Hill, different regulatory agencies, and they're exceptionally valuable. So again, go to chadd.org to learn more and to join as a member. All right, so let's get into the show. Tonight is the middle of December 2017. We're in the holiday season. Many of you out there are struggling with procrastination. Tonight's actually a really fun show. We are with Dr. Kim Kensington, and she actually attended the procrastination conference. Yes, there's a conference on procrastination, which is really fascinating. And we get into a little bit of philosophies in general terms about procrastination and how to manage it. So it was a spectacular interview. It was pre-recorded. We're going to roll the tape, so we hope you enjoy it.
Dr. Kim Kensington is a clinical psychologist in Santa Monica, California, focusing on ADHD coaching, individual psychotherapy, and diagnostic treatment. She's the author of Starting Tomorrow, 7 Steps to Lasting Change, Get Stuff Done, and Have More Fun, and is a contributing author to Integrated Care, Creating Effective Mental and Primary Health Care Teams. She's a frequent speaker at the CHAD, ADDA, and ACO conferences, as well as other online webinars. She was selected to provide continuing education to fellow mental health practitioners as well. Dr. Kensington received her BA from Amherst College and her psychology degree from Virginia Consortium Program. When she's not acting and performing stand-up comedy, which is great, you should go check out the Attention Talk video and search for Kim. We've got a great video of her doing a little bit of stand-up. Her favorite procrastination pastime is walking on the beach with her dog. And with all that, Dr. Kensington, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Cool to have you here. So, I wanted to have Kim on because she's Mrs. Procrastination. She knows a whole heck of a lot about it, but she actually brought to my attention that there's actually a biannual procrastination conference that she recently attended, and I'm anxious to have. We want to talk about procrastination, but I'd like to hear about what she learned and kind of tongue in cheek to have a little bit of fun with it. How those with ADHD have procrastination down, and how they actually really might learn a little bit from us. So, with that, can you just tell us about the there is such a thing as a procrastination conference, your experience, and we'll just go from there.
There is indeed a biannual, was it the Science of Procrastination, I believe it's called, conference, and it's a very international group, and apparently before this year, which was held in Chicago in July, there have been like 3 or 4 members, people showing up. So all of a sudden this year they were deluged with 100, which for them is a deluge, and the only reason, procrastination is my specialty, but I never heard about it. I never knew about it except that my stepmother is a psychologist, and somehow she was on a listserv. So I found out about it through them. So they procrastinate on their marketing, it seems. It is nothing like an ADHD conference. There were a few people who maybe have ADHD, but for the most part, these were scientists, and they were on time, and they had their paperwork in order, and their PowerPoint slides had been prepared. It appeared quite far in advance. It was really interesting. It was the first time I went, and I was really going. I had sort of an agenda because I have such an ADHD hit on this whole thing. I really think about it in terms of our brains and the executive function stuff and the self-regulation, the stuff that we can't just talk ourselves through and will ourselves through because there's the brain thing. But there's this whole other side of the procrastination world, the non-ADHD world, that really wants to talk about it in terms of sort of your psychopathology and how you were damaged as you grew up and your passive aggressiveness and all that other stuff. So I wanted to figure out what that stuff was about since I don't really focus on it. I don't find it as helpful. So that was my agenda when I went there. And when I did the talk at Chad, as you know, because you were there, I showed a slide of just, it was just science, like graphs and the N number of the subjects and the statistical regression analysis with the chi-square and the, I was crazy. And mostly what the whole thing was them trying to figure out what the heck procrastination is. They're still trying to define it, which is, it's a genuine problem. And there seems to be sort of two camps. So one camp is and I think it's the newer group, and it's the younger people, and they kept getting squashed down by the older people. But the newer group was really talking about the brain and self-regulation and the same stuff, you know, difficulty prioritizing. And they even talked about sleep procrastination, which was really super cool. And then there was the old guard that was like, no, that's not what it is. It's, you know, if you just say that, then people aren't going to take any responsibility for it, and they'll continue to act out and be disrespectful and like all that sort of judgy stuff. And so there was a split. And I don't know what will ultimately happen, but it was on the one hand really reassuring to see that there were a lot of researchers that were going at it in the way that makes most sense to me as an ADHD person. And interesting to hear sort of the old guard. And the other thing that I thought was just a surprise was, if you talk to ADHD people, we're going to say 99% of people with ADHD procrastinate. Most people in the world procrastinate. But in ADHD, it's a huge number. But over in procrastination land, they take ADHD out of all their science. They don't want to combine them, partly because of this whole brain thing and people using it as an excuse thing, as far as I can tell, so that when they're collecting their research subjects, mostly college students, they take out people who are impulsive. They take out people who have a diagnosis of ADHD. So I don't know what group they're sort of left with, but they have decided that the old guard has decided that they're 20% of the world, and it's international, and it's men and women, 20% are chronic procrastinators. And they are trying to distinguish that from ADHD, and after 2 days there, I couldn't do it. I could not figure it out. I can't find the difference.
But okay. This is just interesting to me because, number one, they can't even come up with a unified definition of kind of what it is. You got two different camps, yet they say 20%. Well, and taking the ADD crowd out of it, 20% of the population worldwide is chronic procrastinators. That's just interesting to me that there's – if you don't even have a definition and you're not really sure where it's kind of coming from and you're taking that stuff out, it's kind of interesting how you kind of rely on those numbers. I can see how you'd be confused.
Yeah, and that's a really good. I mean, it's a really good point. And a lot of the definitional issue was: is it just delay? Is it intentional delay? Is it delay that has a form of self-sabotage in it? If I was breaking it up, it would be sort of that way. And then they try to decide, you know, does it make a difference if it's inside the person, like a personality thing, or does it more about the environment or more about the task? And so, yeah, they really were struggling. And there was not a consensus at all.
This is, you're cracking me up. Intentional delay. Okay, I tell you what, my goal today is purposely to put this thing off tomorrow. Like, I'm going to give myself a cookie if I don't do this today. I mean, it's kind of comical when you think about it.
It doesn't make any sense to me. The theory apparently is some of that old school stuff, like, it's not crazy, like fear of failure, fear of success. So if I do this thing and I'm successful, then people are going to want more stuff from me. Therefore, I'm not going to do it. But it's not usually that conscious. I'm not going to be successful in life sort of thing. But I don't think most people are working that way.
Yeah, so if I clean my house, I don't want to do that because all of a sudden I'm going to have a lot more of it to clean. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to me.
Go ahead.
So I tell you what, I want to run to a break real quick, and I want to come back, and then I kind of want to get what your take. Like, when you look at procrastination, you worked a lot with this. I want to hear a little bit more about your theories, because I think this is kind of just fun intellectually to kind of talk about. There's actually a science of procrastination. They don't have a definition stuff out there, but we'll come back when we switch to that. Before we do, you've got a book out there. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
I'd be delighted to. It's called Starting Tomorrow. And it's 7 steps to building habits so that you can spend less time doing stuff and having more fun. So it's get stuff done, have more fun. And it is designed for procrastinators, but to teach what I think is the most effective thing in the entire world, which is making routines and habits, which people are like, oh, just make exercise a habit because it's that easy. And I think it's remarkably difficult. So the book is a breakdown as playful and as lighthearted and as simple as I could make it about how you build habits from absolute scratch, like no schedule, no routine, nobody looking over you, knowing full well you'll be interested in it for about a day and a half, and then you'll lose motivation, and if you don't do something in that window, you're doomed. And so we're trying to set something up so you don't need any willpower or motivation going down the road. It's all set up externally. So that's what it is. It's a workbook. It's a 28-day program. And it's got some humor in it. I definitely try.
All right. And they can get links to get into from your website at procrastinationdoctor.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. There's
all right.
A
with that,
link
everybody.
There's a link to a PDF,
link.
And then there's a link that would end up taking you to Amazon.
Excellent. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're with Dr. Kim Kensington talking about procrastination. I guess in part being a little entertained about her experience going to the biannual Science of Procrastination conference that was recently held in Chicago. She shared a little bit about that with us. But, you know, Kim, can you just kind of talk to me? I've seen you present on procrastination for years. You specialize it. You work with it. You've written some books about it. Can you just kind of share what you learned through the years individually about procrastination?
I certainly will try. When I talk about it and think about it with people, I sort of break it down into three basic categories of where people get stuck, and it's emotions, feelings like anxiety. It's actually getting into action, like moving yourself out of the couch or shifting from a blog or Facebook to something else, and then the thinking part. And I believe that the thinking part is the causing the most trouble. And there was somebody at the conference discussing decisional procrastination. See, so there's a name for it. And with ADHD in particular, the problem is that there's decisions that need to be made that we either realize need to be made or we don't even know that's what's going on. But the ADHD brain doesn't prioritize very well. So there's a gazillion things that need to get done, and they all seem equally important and equally urgent. The example I use is that there could be, well, I'll just use one right now, there could be a fire outside. I'm in Los Angeles. Or your plant could be wilting, or you could get an email, and they all seem like you need to respond to them equally. They're all an emergency. So it's hard to choose what to start with because they were all due probably a while ago anyway.
Yep.
And then even when we do choose what to do, there's like a problem with sequencing, the action. So apparently normal people, or what do we call them this week?
Neurotypicals
people. Yes, that's it. Neurotypical, thank you. So apparently neurotypicals will, like, see a project, and they will, like, know the order of the tasks that need to get done to complete the thing, and they're in some sort of logical sequence. With ADHD, there's a bunch of stuff that needs to get done, and it's kind of like the priorities. They don't really have an order. So that's a problem. And so we're getting – a lot of us are getting stuck, and we don't even know why we're getting stuck with these decisions. And another example is, like, if you need to make your annual physician, your doctor's appointment, and you just keep not making it, and it keeps going on the to-do list or whatever, and sometimes there's a decision, like, lurking behind the scenes that you don't think about too much. And it's, I don't really like that doctor. I didn't have a good experience with them last time. I really would like to change doctors. All right, if I change doctors, then I have to look into my insurance company, which means then I have to call them, and then I got to go online, and I got to find somebody in the network. I really need to just go to the doctor. So then we're back to, okay, I've made the decision. I'm just going to go back to that person, but we don't do it because we're not happy with it. And then we forget that we've gone through that whole process, and we keep thinking in our heads, maybe I'll go to a different doctor and go through that whole problem. So my strategy with people is to say, let's start with a thinking piece. Let's start with a decision. And your goal is to get the next action step boiled down to something a 9-year-old could do, to make it so simple, to take all the thinking out of it, that you could say to somebody or a robot, Google this search term and find out for me, you know, find 10 doctors on this health website. So that then the next thing you only have to do, in quotes, is the action without the thinking. And I'm convinced that's like 95% of the battle. And the cool thing about that is you can do that where you're stuck with the Netflix binging going on, like even in the little windows between episodes. You can do that work from anywhere. So that's step one. Step two is trying to get yourself to move. We get stuck a lot, and it's really hard to move. And so I have all kinds of things you can try, like taking your cell phone and setting an alarmer for like 10-minute alarm for 10 minutes that's really obnoxious, and throwing it across the room onto a soft surface so that you actually physically have to get up to go get the darn thing, something to actually activate yourself. And then the third is the feelings piece. So maybe you do want a new job and you want to submit the resume and the cover letter, but you're scared of getting rejected. A lot of that goes away when you actually have finished the resume and have a cover letter. Then it's less scary. And all the steps up until that are not that scary. Like revising the resume, I'm not going to get rejected as I sit here all by myself and, like, change the formatting. There's no threat until the very end. And by the time you get to the very end, if the product is done, like you're going to submit a film to a film festival, if you have a film that's done, you'll feel better about doing that scary thing about submitting it, unless it sucks, and then you won't submit it. You'll work on it. But all the other steps along the way, like there's no point in my starting. Nobody's going to want it. And what if I'm no good at it? Well, do the step that's right in front of you, because that step's not that hard, and the next step's not that hard, and keep going till you have a thing, and then worry about whether or not you can send it out into the world, because you'll feel differently at that point. So those are the threats, basically how I break it down, which is the thinking, and then the moving, and then the feeling.
You know, I like how you frame that out. I know, in words, I really kind of do the same thing with what I'm doing as a coach. I use a little bit different words. I always say is that you have ambiguity. That's the root of almost all procrastination. The question is you begin to ask yourself what's hard, so that you begin to sit there, because if you're going to move past procrastination, I always say there's usually a legitimate chance a legitimate reason. And when you're describing the notion of switching doctors and you begin to think, I've got to go out there and I've got to find this, I've got to see if they're in the network, and I've got to call and get an appointment, I mean, that's a lot of work and a lot of time. And if you've got some other things to do, you might say, listen, I don't have time for it. It's legitimate. Mm-hmm. But until you actually stop and think about what you're doing and break it down, you're not really kind of addressing what's in the middle. And if you can make it real, then I think once that happens, it's easier for it to move, and I totally, 100% agree with you, is once you get it done, the feelings change, because you're not just kind of just feeling that anxiety of beating yourself up because you haven't really activated. So I really like your formula. It makes a lot of sense.
Thanks. I'm glad. Yeah, that does sound really similar. And I'll add, with ADHD, there's that working memory piece. So we're maybe trying to make that decision about calling the doctor, and we think about something else, and now we have been distracted by our own thoughts, and we don't even remember that we were trying to do that, and we've moved on, and the appointment's not made. So that thing about sitting down and thinking it through, I mean, that's one of the best places I think a coach can be helpful, is like, okay, let's just, share all those thoughts, and let's move them around and sort them out together, because externalizing what we're thinking is, really important, because just left to our own devices, it just goes round and round in our heads.
Absolutely. And, I want to go to break. I want to come back, because I have a metaphor that I use to kind of help maybe put some of that stuff into perspective. It's really everything that Kim's saying, but maybe I can do it in a way that makes it kind of a little bit tangible. Before we go to the break, everybody, go learn more about Dr. Kensington at procrastinationdoctor.com. From that website, you can get links to get her book. So, again, go check it out. I guarantee you'll like it. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Kim Kensington. really kind of just spend a little bit of time on procrastination. And, you know, in the first segment, it was really pretty cool. We took a look at what the scientists and research are doing about procrastination. It's really quite humorous. I mean, I think we all know what it is, but we can't seem to define it. And there's actually two camps that are arguing about it. But needless to say, we came back because Kim's really all about, okay, so it's there. What are we going to do about it? And I like the way she broke down. There's the thinking part. There's the moving and the feeling part. And at the end of the last segment, she touched on working memory. And I really want to emphasize that because I think, Kim, that's a real big part of ADD. And I talk to people when I'm working with them. I talk about like booting up your computer in the morning. When you push the power button, it's got to bring everything up. It's got to bring your operating system up. And then you might open a program. All your tools for you to work on the computer coming out. And working memory is the same kind of way. Is when you start to think about something, you're loading all that stuff in it to manipulate it. And when you get distracted, and you've got to get up and walk away, it's like somebody unplugs your computer and it goes blank. And when you come back, you've got to kind of plug it back in and boot it back up. And that's kind of an effortful process. And I've always worked with people sometimes on procrastination. When you've got something that requires a lot of thinking, that notion of really kind of what Kim is thinking about it, but kind of making it tangible so you don't have to come back and kind of reboot that computer and start all back over. Because if you keep starting back over, it's not very efficient, and I can see why you kind of put it off. So, Kim, I'm sharing that kind of as an analogy or metaphor to kind of help people begin to think about this and see about that. You got any thoughts or comments? Does that make some sense, or is there anything in there that you...
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And let me share a suggestion that I have for people. So if you're working, okay, that's along those lines. So if you're working on a big project that you can't finish all in one sitting, I recommend that you don't completely finish that little section that you're working on, that you leave like something open-ended, a really easy piece of it to finish. Like maybe you're doing a mailing and you've got all the envelopes sealed and everything's in there. Now all you need to do is put your return address labels on them so that there's this little piece that you come back to that's really easy and doesn't require any thinking. Because then when you get back there, you can get engaged more easily. Or if it's a more complicated project, like you're working on a book, leave where you're, like, your thoughts. Like, here's what I was thinking, and here would be the very next thing that I would tackle, probably starting with this. Like, that think, you can think when you're in it, and then when you're out of it, you can't think, and you've got to do that whole rebooting thing. But it's faster if you've left yourself some little strings and a way to get back into it more easily.
So this is really funny because I swear to God, everybody, she and I have not talked about this at all. I talk about the concept of rebooting. As you think about it, you got to hibernate the computer. And one of the things that I do is talk about if you can just sit, if you can document what you're thinking, not what you need to do next, but
yeah,
really kind of your thoughts at that point in time when you leave. What I found that's really interesting is for those who can do it, I do this all the time because I just dictate my thoughts, which is transcribed. And when I skim through that, it's interesting how quickly my working memory gets loaded back because there's the buzzwords, and all of a sudden I'm back live almost where I left off the time before. And if you can begin to think about these types of strategies so that you can hibernate your computer and stop rebooting it, I think you'll find it's really, really powerful and will really help you move past procrastination because having something that requires a lot of working memory or you don't really know how to do it, I think is a real difficult time for those with ADHD. And Kim, I really kind of like how you frame that. It really makes a lot of sense. Talk to us briefly about habits a little bit. You had talked about your book and your formula for that. Can you just tell our listeners in general how that works?
In general, if you think about it the way you think about training a dog to do to roll over, say, you teach them in little bits with treats, and we're basically, habits are learning, and we learn through reinforcing our behaviors. So if we're trying to learn to come in the door and not plop all of our stuff down in the middle of the living room floor and on every available surface in 5 minutes, and that's a habit that we want to build, then we would do it piece by piece by piece. So in the same way that you would initially start with a dog, you know, sitting and they get a little treat and then the dog lying down and then they get another treat and then they go on their side and you sort of build from there. And it would be it's the same with our building of habits, and they can be they can be much more complex in terms of like creating a space for you to do thinking work, or it can be much more simple. Like there's some YouTube videos about a dog called Just Jesse, and I got to start showing them again. They have a Jack Russell Terrier that washes windows and takes toast out of the toaster and puts it on a plate and brings it to the master and loads up the dishwasher and takes out the recycling. Like, it's amazing what you can be trained to do and what you can train yourself to do. So, same with exercising, but whatever it is, if you're training yourself to come in the door and not, trash stuff, I'm a big fan of using timers. You set a timer for maybe 3 to 5 minutes and have some fun music, and you do it really fast in the time that you have allotted to you, so small that it's not going to become aversive, so that you'll be willing to do it again the next time. And then some sort of a reward at the end, because that actually really works for our brains. And you build slowly from there. And again, it can be stuff like, tidying or creating the exercise habit, or working on a novel. Like, I show up at this space, after I've drunk my coffee. I don't like using clocks because we're really perfectionistic. And if we say, I'm going to work on my novel from 7 to 9 and it's 7:05, a lot of us are likely to just throw in the towel and go, yeah, missed it. So sequencing action. So like after I drink my morning coffee or while I drink my morning coffee, I will go sit at my desk and I will set a timer and I will do something on it. And then I have a menu of options because our moods might change and we want to have some choices of what we can do in that time. And then be really clear about the time so that we end. So if I'm going to do it for 30 minutes, I set a timer and then I win focusing on it for 30 minutes. And whatever happens, I've won, as opposed to I'm going to write a chapter, which could take 15 minutes or it could take 19 days. We don't know. And then it's harder to win. So those are some of the things that I think about in terms of helping people create habits.
I learned over the years, don't minimize things. It's easier. It's better to acknowledge something that's hard and meet it where it is than to act like it's like no big deal. And I've learned over the years that when it comes to these things like habits, I did some talking to a show a couple years ago about mindfulness in general, and it was overwhelming. I did not have an expert with ADHD who did not believe that mindfulness, exercise, or meditation, they all believe that it helped people with ADHD. But what was interesting, with one or two very unique exceptions, everybody also agreed it was more challenging for them. And I like to use what I learned from Dr. Russell Barkley. Think of the ADHD brain as two levels. You have the automatic brain, the pre-programmed brain, the reptilian brain, the habit brain, and the executive functioning brain. And the executive functioning is very effortful. It's got to step in. It's got to effortlessly override the automatic. So if we can program a habit or routine that's automatic where you don't think about it, it's great for those with ADHD. But changing them step by step, because every time you go and you do something, you're trying to break a habit and start a new one, you're having to effortlessly stop and override it. And what I like about what you were describing is the breaking it down in chunks and putting those things together and the creativity that you were talking about, through the process of little things or rewards in order to build that, because at the end of the day, from interviewing experts for years, it's clear to me that actually habit forming is probably the greatest thing for those with ADHD, but it's also more difficult for them than others. Do you just want to share your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure which part. I do believe it's one of the most effective things we can do, especially because starting is so awful. And if you do habits right, you can set up triggers, environmental cues that sort of, like the Pavlov dog, they heard the bell and they salivated. You do something and we do it enough times and it sort of triggers us to put on our sneakers so that we go exercise. So I think that piece of it's really helpful, and it is one of the most helpful things for ADHD. And then what was the other thing you said that I wanted to respond to? Oh, that it's harder for us. Our internal motivation mechanism is just doesn't work the way other people's do. That internal, intrinsic drive to do something, we'll have it for a little while, but it doesn't last because we're so present and immediate gratification focused. So if we know that's going to burn out, we can set ourselves up so that we don't have to be intrinsically motivated from the inside. We can use rewards to be extrinsically motivated from the outside.
Yep.
So that it just keeps us going. Like, you know, we do, there's an example of seatbelts, apparently, where there's something about the clicking sound of the seatbelt that is reinforcing that action. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but it just a reinforcement every single time to help. And then using gambling, which is the you never know when you're going to hit the jackpot, is what makes an action stick, a habit stick. So that you can mix in, you know, match rewards. Sometimes once the habit's established, then you mix up the rewards and you never know when you're going to get one. And that helps keep it in there because our biggest thing is that we're not consistent and we make habits and we drop them. And to a certain extent, we just need to accept that. But also, you know, based on who we are, how can we maybe work with that so that we can hang on to it longer? And then I'll say once you've made one, make some notes for yourself about the roadmap that helped you get there because, you know, you might very well fall off because life happens. And if you have a little map for yourself to get back on again so you don't have to do all that thinking, that can be a time saver.
Again, make the maps. It saves you that thinking so you can photocopy your recipe. I love it, Kim. Any kind of closing things, any last comments or tips you want to share that come to mind?
You'd have to narrow it down for me some more because otherwise I have to do all kinds of thinking.
At the end of the day, I hope everybody enjoyed this.
Hey, Kim. No, I was just going to say it's been fun how on the same page we are. So now you can talk.
I've learned over the years in interviewing the experts, it's really kind of funny. Sometimes we use different vernacular that confuses people, but it's interesting to me the patterns. There's a fundamental underlying process, and people describe it different ways, but it's interesting to me because how it seems to work. And again, we use sometimes different words, and we have different tricks and analogies, but it's interesting how it really kind of all comes together. And that to me is best practices because you work with people long enough, and you find out what works, and it really makes a lot of sense. So it's authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess the last thing I would say is that it's education. The more you know,
absolutely,
the more you can do these. That's where
absolutely
the key is, understanding the brain.
Understanding the brain and understanding the process. And I encourage you to go to procrastinationdoctor.com, learn about Dr. Kensington, check out our book. And with that, Kim, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. It was really fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you tune in next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.